Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military operations.
The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead, based on sound Bible doctrine. That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. It covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible says. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or look online at equip.org.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True? Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org, or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or the Christian Research Journal, go to our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Have you ever wondered what the word amen means? We use it all the time. Sometimes someone says something that you agree with and you say amen. You certainly say amen every time you conclude a prayer to our Heavenly Father. But what does the word amen mean? Amen is a universally recognized word that is far more significant than simply signing off or saying, well, that's all. With the word amen, we're in effect saying, may it be so, in accordance with the will of God. And it is a marvelous reminder that any discussion on prayer must begin with the understanding that prayer is a means of bringing us into conformity with God's will, not a magic mantra that ensures God's conformity to ours. Jesus is the very personification of the word, amen. In Revelation, he's referred to as the amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. And he not only taught us to pray, your will be done, he modeled these words in his life. Of course, in his passionate prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. While Jesus is our greatest example, he's certainly not our only example. His brother James warns those who are prone to boast and brag that they are to pray indeed, if it be your will, Lord, we will do this or that or the other thing. And Christ's closest friend during his earthly ministry, the Apostle John, echoes the words of the Master when he writes, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And of course, that again is precisely what amen means. May it be so in accordance with the will of God. The reason I bring this up is this is some of what I communicate in my best-selling book, The Prayer of Jesus, which is available on an audio CD, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Recently, I listened to this audio tape again, this audio CD, to strengthen me in my prayer resolve, a recognition that prayer is ultimately a way of developing intimacy with the one that we not only love and treasure, but the one that we will spend eternity with. If you don't have these resources or want to give them to others, they're available this month for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute to keep this ministry on the air and touching lives, not only for time, but also for eternity. You can order today for your gift. We'll send you The Prayer of Jesus. You can get the soft cover book with the study guide, or you can get the CD. I really recommend you get the CD and listen to it in your car or your office, or you can, of course, make a copy of it that you can listen to on your technological support, whatever that might be. You can order www.equip.org. You can write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll go right to our phone calls now. Talk to Joseph in Chandler, Oklahoma. Hi, Joseph.
It says in the Bible that we should look for the kingdom of heaven and the gifts and everything. But I really don't want to look for the kingdom of heaven, and I really don't want the gifts. What I'm really seeking for is a father-son type relationship. Is that all right, or should I just keep on trying?
Well, I think that's what happens. When you develop intimacy with the lover of your soul, your gifts and your calling will be exposed as well. And I do think that your heart is in the right place, Joseph. I mean, that's ultimately what all of us need to seek. Intimacy with our Heavenly Father, out of which everything else grows. So that's the first thing. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that allows you to obey the second commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. In the process, your gifts will become manifest, and therefore you will be able to build the kingdom as well. In other words, when Jesus says to pray, "Your kingdom come," he's teaching us to recognize that he's already won the war, but the reality of his reign is not yet fully realized. Right now, we're sandwiched between the triumph of the cross and the termination of time, between D-Day and V-Day. D-Day was the first coming of Christ when the enemy was decisively defeated. V-Day is the second coming of Christ when the enemy shall totally and finally surrender. So history is hurtling towards a glorious climactic end when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. And so Jesus not only taught the Apostle John to pray, "Your kingdom come," but he also gave him a glimpse of that kingdom on the island of Patmos, where John sees the holy city coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. I think by seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, you are seeking him, and in seeking the king, it helps you not only minister to others, but, as I said, utilize your gifts in total.
Thank you.
You've got it. I commend you because your heart is in the right place. And that right place is the place that allows everything else to follow. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Jack. He's listening on KKLA in Whittier, California. Hi, Jack.
Hi. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine. It's good to talk to you.
Great. Same here. Thank you for taking my call. The question I have centers around, lately I'm running across at the church I attend, practices that have to do with, I believe, the emerging church, ancient practice, centering prayer, breath prayer. And I wanted to find out your thoughts on that. And are these practices biblical?
Well, I think, unfortunately, a lot of people that are involved in the emergent church have the wrong kinds of resources being recommended to them. And as a result of that, they get involved in bad practice. One of the books being recommended is Ken Wilber's A Brief History of Everything. And it is a book that exemplifies these kinds of practices that I don't think are very helpful for Christians at all. We actually did an article on the emergent church and talk about how we should navigate the emerging church highway. There are various highways on that emerging church road, and some of them lead you right into liberalism. And a lot of the practices that are counterproductive to the Christian faith, particularly the notion that truth cannot be known, because truth is ever evolving. So what was once true may not be true today. And I think that's a very dangerous aspect of the emergent movement.
Okay. Are some of these practices valid, such as breath praying or center prayer?
No, not in the way that they are communicated in these books. This is esoteric paganism. It's not Christianity. It comes more out of a worldview that is antithetical to Christianity than a Christian worldview.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. I'll look for that article on your website.
Yeah.
And see what more information I can find on that. But thank you so much for your insight on that. I appreciate it very much.
You've got it. Again, the article is titled Navigating the Emerging Church Highway, and it does warn you against many of the false and dangerous practices that are inherent in that movement so popular today. It also reminds me to remind you that if you've not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you should do that right away. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. If you're already subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, you should tell a family member or a friend about it. This is an incredible resource that probes today's religious movements, like the emergent church movement, promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking. In other words, we want you to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously because you have developed discernment skills. And of course, it provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. I read a column for the Christian Research Journal that really equips you to read the Bible for all it's worth, to be so familiar with the truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously, that equip and encourage you to make a difference while there's yet time. You can order online at equip.org or just call 888-7000 CRI. Be right back with more of your questions.
The first step toward intimacy with God is to make prayer a priority. Once we grasp the significance of a dialogue with God, prayer will no longer be a mere duty or discipline. It will become a delight, for it is the very means for bringing us into the presence of the living God. The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Intimacy with God, is the perfect tool to jumpstart your prayer life and put you on the road to experience intimacy with God like never before. You can request your copy of the audiobook or softcover edition with study guide on our website at equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man after this short break.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. Passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick notation that I'm going to be at First Baptist Church in Central Florida this weekend, April 24th and 25th. That's this Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to be talking about the reliability of the Bible as well as confronting the New Village Atheists. For more information, you can check with us at the Christian Research Institute, or you can simply call the church office at 407-293-4571. Let's go right back to the phone calls and talk to Leonard, listening on XM170 in Anderson, California. Hi, Leonard.
Hi, Dr. Hanegraaff. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Wonderful. I have a question. My mother-in-law recently passed away, and the family wants me to do the eulogy. She is a Christian. But the family is also mixed. Some are Christian, some are non-Christian. And I was wondering if you could direct me to the appropriate passages in Scripture that I might use during this eulogy.
You know, one of the things that I love to do at eulogies is use 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of those who have no hope, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." So I think one of the things that the Apostle Paul does there is uses this as a means of pointing out that the resurrection separates believers from unbelievers, and therefore, as a believer, you're not grieving like the rest of the world. You are grieving because death is unnatural. It's an unnatural rending of body and soul. It's painful, and so it's right to grieve. Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with death, but it does give us something far greater, a way to overcome death through the hope of resurrection. And therefore, you do not grieve as the rest of those who have no hope. And I think to point that out in a eulogy or a message is a fantastic thing to do, because you can say that. I'm not grieving like the rest of those who have no hope. I am grieving, but not like them, because I have the hope that I will see my loved one again in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I've memorized the passage and oftentimes use it at funerals and then use it as a springboard to talk about the resurrection and what the hope of Christianity is.
Yes, yes. And I think that's real important. And then I was also thinking about using 1 John 3:16 to let them know that she was a believer, and thank God that she was, because she's absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yes. Yes, beautiful.
And I was also thinking of using the 23rd Psalm.
Yes, yes, great. Fantastic. And what an opportunity. I mean, this is one of the things we do at Christian funerals. We use this as an opportunity to direct others to the eternal hope, because at a funeral, we take stock of our lives and we say, I too am mortal. I too will die. And it's a wonderful time to remind people that life is just a vapor here today and gone tomorrow. And therefore, we've got to look at life after life, not just life.
Yes, exactly. That is perfect. All right. Wonderful. Well, would it be permissible to ask you another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. In regard to baptism,
yeah,
and John the Baptist, Did all the baptizing, did Jesus ever baptize anyone, and did he baptize John the Baptist?
No, but baptism is a biblical idea that goes back to the Old Testament, which is to say the Jews used to baptize converts into the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel, and it was symbolic. The sprinkling of water, which cleanses the skin, was symbolic of the inner cleansing that takes place. And so when you look at baptism, it's not just a New Testament practice, it's an Old Testament practice as well. And baptism in the New Testament is now even more significant, because the Savior has come, and therefore baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ is demonstrating that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the God of Israel who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. And it's also a means of being baptized into a body of believers. So Romans chapter 6 is a great depiction of baptism as being buried to our old life and raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, which, of course, points directly to the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself.
Oh, yes. All right. Thank you for the clarification.
You got it. Hey, Leonard, bye. Thanks for your call. Bless you, my brother. I want to go right back to the phone lines, talk to Kirk next in Fresno, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm a fairly new Christian. I've been going to church for some time, and you know, since I've been listening to what's Bot Radio here where I live, I've just taken off. Between your broadcast and a lot of others, I feel like, you know, it's just catapulted me. And, you know, my question is, I've always been, you know, felt very convicted to tithe to the local church, but I feel like I'm getting so much more from these other places. Is it fair, is it right to tithe to these other ministries? I mean, is my 10%, should it go to the places where I'm being fed, or, you know, should it stay at a local church?
Yeah, the way I look at this, Kirk, is a couple of different ideas here. The first thing is that the New Testament idea is that we hold everything in our hands so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit, which is to say the New Testament principle is very clearly that we are stewards, not owners. And therefore, we're not tithing to the Levites, but rather what we're doing is we are giving for the propagation of the gospel. Now, tithing is depicted in the Old Testament as a way of learning to revere the Lord our God always. You see that in Deuteronomy chapter 14. And learning to reverence the name of God is a timeless principle, but tithing points ultimately to free will giving. And it demonstrates that you are not trusting in the arm of flesh, but rather trusting in the arm of God. I was just in Singapore and Indonesia just a short time ago, and while I was there, I saw people that God had blessed in the most extraordinary ways financially. But they didn't use those finances to consume it upon their own lust, but they realized, my goodness, I can use this for the extension of God's kingdom. And it seems that the more that they give away for the propagation of the gospel, the more they have to give away because God sees them as faithful stewards of his resources. But the other part that I wanted to communicate more specifically in identity with your question is that you want to invest in those ministries that are really making a difference. Just as if you were investing in the stock market, you would research a company and invest in that company that's really making a difference because you are going to get a return on your investment. I think the same thing is true spiritually. So you want to invest in those churches and ministries that are bearing abundant, abiding fruit so that they can continue to do so.
You know, that's great. You know, that's what I kept hearing. You know, and for whatever reason, I guess because you can't hear until you can hear, but, you know, I kept hearing about the Hank Hanegraaff broadcast and these other broadcasts, but they're really ministries. I'm supporting them, at, you know, outside of just me. Well, thank you very much. You know, I just got your the Bible that you had online.
Yes.
And we're looking at getting some other books and whatnot. I don't know if this is a quandary for me, but you know, I want to be able to give to the broadcast or the ministry rather. And there's so many different things that I would just love to have of yours as far as books and whatnot.
That's one of the things that we do too. I mean, for your gift to the ministry, we do provide resources because we want to put tools in your hands so that the gift keeps on giving. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Thanks, Kirk, for your call. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. If you're leaving us now, you can catch more of The Bible Answer Man on our website at equip.org. For everyone else, stay with us. We'll be back after this short break. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises.
Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenim series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenim FEAT and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th, just a few weeks away. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for seven packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Now, back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a few words about the Legacy Study Bible available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For your gift of $250 or more, we will send you a personalized copy of the Legacy Study Bible, which contains so many features, including pages that have been set aside to record the most significant moments in which God's sovereignty, His provision, His grace, mercy, and love have been more clearly demonstrated in your life. Like the children of Israel before us, we can be so quick to forget God's faithfulness in the past when we're faced with new crises in the present. The legacy altars, which are part of the Legacy Study Bible, are designed to help you record and remember the legacy of God's faithfulness in your life so that when times of troubles come and doubts come with them, you can rest in the knowledge of God's unchanging goodness. Perhaps God's sovereignly provided you with a godly mate or guided you through a difficult time through the wise counsel or comfort of a friend. Or perhaps you were strengthened by the Holy Spirit to resist temptation or to stand firm in your faith in the face of opposition. Just as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and even Moses built altars to the Lord in the places where he met with them and came to their aid, you can construct altars to God in this Legacy Study Bible as well, commemorating all that he has done for you and serving as a lasting testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. Again, the Legacy Study Bible, if you go to the front of it right after the table of contents, you'll see all kinds of features, including an acronym that will teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth, as well as an acronym that will demonstrate that the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God, as well as an acronym that will give you the essence by which you can communicate the truth of Christ's resurrection and the certainty of your resurrection as well, and much, much more. The Legacy Study Bible, available for your gift of $250. $150 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. I personalize them to yourself, a family member, or a friend. Each morning when I come into the office, I set aside some time to do just that. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, we have the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, again, personalized to a family member and a friend or a co-laborer in Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book deals with the questions that stumble seekers, also questions that oftentimes galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. The Complete Bible Answer Book, personalized for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And when you give to us, you're not giving to us in the truest sense of the word, but through us in touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. Both resources can be accessed on the World Wide Web at equip.org. For your gift to the ministry this month as well, we do have a resource, The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, the CD version now available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute as my way of saying thank you. Just recently, I listened through this CD again to reinvigorate my prayer life, because this is, in essence, an overview of the very prayer that Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, by which they could develop intimacy with the lover of their soul. Let's go to the phone lines. We'll talk to Danny, listening on KKLA in Fontana, California. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Hank. Just want to thank you for taking my call, and just wanted to thank you for your bravery in putting out books like Apocalypse Cold and The Last Disciple. My question for today is about the official Roman Catholic view and Eastern Orthodox view on end times, getting a little bit discouraged with the Protestant dispensationalism teaching that is so prevalent here in the States.
Yeah, the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic essentially have an amillennial view of eschatology. I disagree with that view, as I do with the postmillennial and premillennial view. I think that the millennium, as depicted in Revelation chapter 20, has to do with a way of expressing vindication for the martyrs. The idea being that you'll suffer for a short time, 10 days, your vindication will be for 1,000 years. In other words, it'll be an everlasting and eternal vindication. And the reason I say that is 1,000, if you interpret it in reading Scripture in light of Scripture, you find that it's always metaphorical with respect to everlasting or eternal. So God can increase your number 1,000 times. It's not just 1,000 times. It's an abundant number. If God says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, it doesn't mean he just owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he owns everything. If God says he shows loving kindness to 1,000 generations, it means that his loving kindness is everlasting. So when you come to the apocalypse, which is an apocalypse, not just the sense of an unveiling, but in the sense of a linguistic matrix that is rooted in the Old Testament, one would think that you would read Revelation 20 in light of how the Old Testament uses these same words. Jesus and John, they're heirs to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets, of course, greater prophets than them all, and they use the language of the prophets in the apocalypse, not ascribing new meanings to them, but heightening the meanings, and certainly that's what's happening in Revelation 20.
Right. And does the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church still view Protestants as heretics?
No, sometimes as separated brethren. I think that there is a collegiality now between Roman Catholics and Protestants, recognizing that if we have the essentials, we are united as brothers and sisters in the Lord, which is to say that we have to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. We have to believe in the incarnation and the resurrection, and ultimately believe that we are saved
by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. When you, whether a Protestant or a Catholic, believe that you can add to salvation by the work you do, then you've missed the heart of salvation, because the gospel is not what you can do, D-O, but what Jesus Christ has done, D-O-N-E. So all who believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ have eternal life because they're trusting not in what they can do, but the sacrifice that Jesus Christ provides for us. And through that sacrifice, a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
All right. Thank you so much, Hank. God bless you and CRI. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And of course, our whole goal here is to make people so familiar with essential Christian doctrine that immediately they spot those things that militate against essential Christian doctrine, even if they are traditions. Traditions found in the words of men, but not men inspired by God. And I would suggest that something like purgatory is that kind of a tradition. You find it in the testimony of the fathers or tradition, but you don't find it in the final court of arbitration, which is the Word of God. And we must be always ready to test the traditions of humankind in light of the Word of God, recognizing that the Word of God is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. Jesus Christ paid it all, and therefore there's no sense in which any price has to be paid after we die. So the prostitution, of course, of purgatory in the worst sense was with indulgences, where in the Middle Ages, Johann Tetzel would say, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. That is a prostitution of the gospel. But that prostitution can be found in Word of Faith circles as well, where Jesus Christ is depicted not as the end, but simply as a means to our ends, where Jesus Christ is not the ultimate objective of our faith, where people come to the Master's table not because they love the Master, but rather they come because of what's on the Master's table. And so Jesus Christ, again, becomes a means to their ends as opposed to being the end. I've written about this in various places, including Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at www.equip.org. or by simply calling our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI.
Apart from the resurrection, there's little point of celebrating either Christmas or Easter. Are you able to explain the historical truth of the resurrection to skeptics? Well, this month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new Feet Flip Chart. Presented in memorable form, the Feet Flip Chart is a complete defense of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't delay. Request your copy today by going online to equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader whose birthday is now marked by a national holiday. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage. How should Christians handle tithing in the current economic climate, the internet mission field, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy?
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True? Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org, or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to our callers. Next up is Frank. He's listening on the World Wide Web at equip.org in Syracuse, New York. And by the way, people listening in more than 100 countries, I think it's more than 200 countries now around the world on the World Wide Web. You can access this broadcast live streaming on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, Frank, it's good to have you with us.
How you doing, Hank? How are you today?
I am doing fine.
Okay, I have a question about, it's on Genesis 19:24.
Uh-huh.
Before I get to that, I read Genesis 18, work my way to 19:24.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the Lord is speaking to Abraham. He's spending some time with Sarah and Lot. He is on the earth. And as I come to 19:24, it says, the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
I could picture the Lord standing just outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. And all of a sudden, he brings brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So I see there's two persons here.
Yeah, kind of interesting, because you do have what's called a theophany as well as an angelophany in this very context, where you have the Lord and two angels appearing to Abram on the plains of Mamre. So in that sense, I think that you do have God actually on this earth in physical form, or taking on physical form. This is not permanent physical form, but God is creative, can certainly appear as he does in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, you have theophanies, Christophanies. Typically, Christophany always depicted as the angel of the Lord. and you have angelophanies, where angels take form by God's creative power. But one thing you never see, of course, is that demons take form, because they don't have creative power. But to your point specifically, what I would say here, Frank, is that it is more likely that this is a typical Hebrew reiteration, which you find throughout the Bible. You have parallelisms, and this falls into that general category. In some cases, you have synonymous parallelisms. In some cases, you even have antithetical parallelisms. A case like that would be in Isaiah chapter 45. Where God says, I am the Lord, and there's none else. I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. Obviously, what is referred to here is light in contrast with darkness, peace in contrast with its opposite, which is variously rendered evil or calamity or disaster. So you have throughout the Bible this parallelism, this Hebrew reiteration, and I think that's really what's going on in the passage.
Okay. And even when we refer to John 8:56-59?
Yeah.
Now, Jesus is speaking to the Jewish Sanhedrin, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm picturing that this person that's with Abraham speaking is Jesus the Word.
Well, I think that you can picture the one speaking to Abraham as being God. I think it is more likely a theophany than a Christophany. And the reason I say that is when you have an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament, it is almost always represented as the messenger of Yahweh or the angel of the Lord. So I think that it is more likely a theophany than Christophany. But again, we don't want to get stuck in a linguistic hall of mirrors here. That's always dangerous because, as we know as believers, there's only one God. That one God is revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but there's only one God. So in essence, we're talking about God appearing to man. But because there are personal distinctions within the Godhead, they're variously identified as the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, and I want to mention one other thing that's kind of beautiful. A lot of people do not really see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. They see the Father and the Son. But if you read the Old Testament clearly, you will see that not only the Father and the Son, but also the Holy Spirit is clearly depicted in the Old Testament. So, for example, you see that in Psalm 51, the Spirit is specifically mentioned. You see in Numbers 27, the Spirit dwelt in Joshua. God put His Holy Spirit within Moses in Isaiah 63. So the Holy Spirit is a personal presence, has and always will be in the midst of God's people. You see that in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, as well as the Christophanies and the Theophanies that I just now mentioned.
And Genesis 1:2 also.
Yes, yes, exactly, yes. Okay, Frank, good talking to you. Good question.
That helped. Thanks a lot, Hank.
You got it, my friend. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Sally, listening on KFAX in Fresno, California. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's a privilege to talk to you.
My subject is on divorce and remarriage. I have a passage here on Matthew 5, verse 31, where it speaks a little bit about that.
Yes.
Would you have give me any more references on that as far as in Scripture?
Yeah.
About divorces and remarriage?
Yeah, a couple of things. Jesus makes it clear that a man leaves his mother and father and is united with his wife, and the two become one flesh in Matthew chapter 19. And therefore, he follows up by saying that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another commits adultery. And Paul then in 1 Corinthians 7 also deals with this exact same point. by pointing out that if an unbelieving spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. If, however, the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So you see Jesus dealing with this, as you point out, in the Sermon on the Mount, as well as Jesus dealing with it, Matthew chapter 19, and then Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But you also see other passages on divorce, for example, in Malachi 2, where God says, I hate divorce, and that divorce ultimately is a prescription given because of the hardness of our hearts, the ultimate being that we will work towards reconciliation no matter what the cost.
Okay. Now, Hank, on divorce in Matthew 5, it says marital unfaithfulness. Now, there is no other exception except for marital unfaithfulness, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And even there, there's a strong qualification where divorce is not the prescribed solution. It is something given because of the hardness of our heart. The best we can always do is try to work towards reconciliation, not find a way out. But we've actually produced an incredible article in the Christian Research Journal that deals with this and all the biblical passages. It is one of the best articles on the subject I've ever seen. It's written by Dr. Mike Ross, titled Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage. Again, as a feature in the Christian Research Journal and the present edition of the Christian Research Journal. So I would commend that to you. If you want to hang on, I can send it out to you.
Okay. Now, Hank, what if you go through with this divorce because you can't reconcile with your spouse? Should that person remarry again?
Well, I think Paul does specifically address that, as I pointed out earlier. If an unbelieving spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. Which is to say that if you are unequally yoked, which is a bad situation to get into, and the unbeliever leaves, and by the way, someone can say they're a believer, but if they live by the dictates of their own will, it's a sure sign that they have not repented, made a U-turn on the road of life, and are willing to sacrifice everything for the cause of Christ and love people as Christ loved the church, including our spouses and the families that are produced through our spouses.
Okay. All right, Hank. That answered my question, and I will look that up. And if I'm interested in what you just mentioned.
Yeah, great article, and it's in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Thanks for your call, Sally. For everybody listening in, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine no Christian home should be without. If the articles don't apply to you now, they will at one point. So subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Save the journals. They are an incredible resource provided through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org through our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show on XM 170 on the web and on stations around the country. So long for now.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus
lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.